He's called us ready.
He's going to start recording now.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming. There is a couple of extra seats up here for the people that are standing at the back. So if you want to come up, there's a couple here in the front row as well. So if you guys want to come up and grab a seat, that'd be great. Thank you, everybody, for coming at a time right before the party. We really appreciate such a good attendance. My name's Derek Moyer. I'm one of the business directors at Citrix in Australia and New Zealand. I'm responsible for our Microsoft engagement. I am the person that essentially is the go-to person for all things Microsoft within Citrix. With me, I have Danny Newport, my SE. Danny?
Thank you, Derek. Again, thanks. This is an awesome turnout for just before the party. So, as Derek said, I'm Danny Newport. I'm pre-sales technical guy covering Australia and New Zealand for all things Citrix and Microsoft. So, if you're doing Zen Desktop on Hyper-V deployments or System Center integration, so that's kind of my bag across ANZ.
Thanks, Danny. So, Danny's the brains, and I'm the guy that sort of does the PowerPoint at the front. So, start with this slide. So, who here in the audience is excited by these four letters? Oh, there's a couple. That's good. That's good to see.
That's good. That's better than New Zealand because not one hand went up in New Zealand. They're all terrified of it over there.
Okay, so who's terrified by these four letters?
Yeah, that's a lot more what we're used to seeing.
Yeah. So, is this your strategy around BYOD? CIO strategy around BYOD. Okay. Or is that your strategy around BYOD? And we have heard a lot about that being it only is a Windows type strategy, and we know that it's probably more than that. So if we actually look at some of the numbers and we talk through some of these numbers, I've seen stats around the vicinity of approximately 916 million smart connected devices were shipped last year. If you think about what that means for people coming into the enterprise, it's going to happen, right? We're going to see these devices come in. And I'm not just talking about BYOD, I'm just talking about new types of technologies entering the market. We are seeing businesses leaning towards enabling employees to bring their devices, even though it's not a BYOD plan. Maybe it's a way of putting some security authentication software onto a phone so they can simplify the way that they come in through their VPN. But what's happening is we actually are seeing this actually happening in the marketplace today, and people are embracing this type of technology. On top of that, we're being backed by Gartner, if you like. Gartner is out there telling people that this is going to happen, right? This will happen, and by 2014, we're going to see a huge amount of numbers. Approximately 90% of these devices will actually be embraced, or 90% of organizations will embrace BYOD or some type of smart connected devices other than the traditional laptop that we're seeing today in their environment.
All good. So I guess the message we're trying to get across here, and it probably hasn't escaped you at this point, is whether you're excited by it or terrified by it, it's coming whether you like it or not, all right? BYOD is an expectation almost these days, and we almost don't have a conversation with a customer without this coming up. So as you probably well know, Citrix has a lot of solutions in the BYOD space, and I could talk for hours about that as a session in itself. I'm going to leave it at that because we know we have products and technologies that support BYOD strategies. This is a comment that comes up a lot. Customers go, that's great, we love what you guys do with all your desktop and application virtualization, all that kind of stuff. But what does that actually mean for me? There's usually a support guy in the room going, do I need to retrain guys? Do I have to sack someone? Do I need to hire someone with new skills? What does that actually mean for me? So before I go too much further, what I'd like to get an understanding of who I actually have in the room. How many of you are partners in the room? Customers? Yeah, there's a lot more customers and partners. There's the same in New Zealand as well. That's interesting. So I'm assuming because you're at a Microsoft event, you're probably a System Center customer. If not, you're thinking about it. And if you're a partner, you're probably a partner that knows something about System Center, given you're in this session. So The good thing is, if you are a System Center customer, you don't have to change a thing. If you are already managing physical applications and desktops and stuff with Config Manager, you don't have to change anything just because you want to do cool stuff with Citrix technologies like delivering virtual desktops and apps. So that's kind of what the rest of the session is going to be about. Sounds like I'm in a hurricane here.
We move forward.
So what if there was a single pane of glass to manage this stuff? Would that be good? Yeah? Well, this is the Config Manager bubble today. This is what we understand the Config Manager does out of the box, right? It manages Windows applications and desktops, you know, that devices that usually sit on a desk, they're domain joined and well connected and that kind of stuff, with users that also kind of sit in an office, they're domain joined and all that kind of stuff, right? That's kind of System Center's bag right now. If you add the Citrix connector, you kind of expand Config Manager's capabilities in terms of managing and delivering applications and stuff to that. So you enable, to talk in Config Manager parlance, non-managed, lightly managed, and non-Windows devices to have applications pushed to them from the Config Manager console. So you're enabling, well, Config Manager itself doesn't enable a BYOD scenario. I mean, our technology does that in this case, but you enable simplified management of BYOD. You actually don't need to care about the device anymore. You just care about delivering applications and data and stuff to that device. So you can absolve yourself of responsibility to a large degree of the endpoint. So, what does the connector do for you? And I'm going to drop into a lot of demos as well. So I'm going to walk through some slides, but I've got quite a few demos where we'll see the connector, what it looks like, how it builds out, stuff like that. So it unifies, as I've just said, all your desktop's application management into a single pane of glass. So whether they're physical or virtual, you see it all in the same place, which is really important. As I said, you can deliver any app to any user anywhere. So anyone who's known Citrix for a while, we've been saying any for about as long as I can remember. So that doesn't change either. The good thing is Microsoft's now saying it, so we're singing from the same song sheet on this one. I'm going to dwell on this one for a little bit as well. Highly available. So what the hell does that mean, highly available? What does that mean in this context? So there's a component of Zenapp called Power and Capacity Management. So what the Zenapp connector for Config Manager does is it leverages the Power and Capacity Management tool. So I'll explain what that tool does in its native form. In the Zenapp world, it's designed to, I guess you can spread load across all your Zenapp servers for maximum performance, or you can collapse load down onto the fewest number of hosts possible so you can power some hosts down, therefore, you know, save, do the green thing, save on power and cooling and that kind of stuff in the data center. So that's what PCM does in a Zenapp sense. The way Config Manager or the connector uses that is, if you're pushing an MSI to a Zenapp server, you can't do that while people are using it, right? Because that just doesn't, you know, it's not going to be good for the people using it for a start. So what you want to do is the connector makes that server unavailable for logons, and it will drain it via attrition. So it doesn't kick anyone off. So as people log on, log off via attrition, that server becomes then empty. You can install your app or whatever you want to do to it, reboot the server, and then do it to the next server. All right, and that happens in an automated fashion using the connector. So you can push an app, you can push Windows updates or apps or do whatever you want to your servers, take a hands-off approach to it, and in an automated fashion, it will just roll through your entire farm without affecting availability. So that's what the highly available thing means. And you get to reuse your existing IP and, you know, processes and your investments in technology as well, which is really important. So, I'm not going to go through what's new in System Center 2012 because it's not really a System Center. God, that's better. Session, you've probably seen this week what's new in System Center 2012. I'm going to tell you what's new from our perspective and what's relevant. So this is the most important thing to us. It's gone from being really a system-centric tool to a user-centric tool, which is fantastic. So it's really going to focus on how do I get this application to this user. And that's great for us because it's what we do as well. I'm just going to grab my water bottle. These are a bunch of new concepts in Config Manager. And those ones highlighted in yellow are the ones we really care about. So there are new deployment types that are relevant, and I'll talk through those as well. User-centric administration and app catalog. And I'll walk through each of those as well. So you guys will get a copy of this deck. So you don't have to write furiously and take photos of screens and stuff, although you can tweet them, I guess, if people do that. All right. I wish I could take credit for this these next few builds, because they actually make this concept really, really simple for everyone to understand, and all my customers like it, but I didn't make it there. So basically what this is going to walk through is, do you need to get an application to a user, and you have a variety of deployment types that enable you to do that in Config Manager, right? So there is a Zenap deployment type in Config Manager natively. So we are first-class citizens in Config Manager 2012, which is good. It's very good. So let's say you want to get an application to Tony, and Tony's going to have some kind of security group membership and stuff that gives him certain rights in a domain. He's also going to have a hardware environment that sits around him. It could be on an Intel platform, or it could be on an ARM platform, or it could be domain joined, or whatever. Right, he could have a software environment around him. It might be a Windows platform, might not be a Windows platform. So let's say if Tony, in this case, has a laptop that has less than 512 mega RAM, then maybe the best way to deliver that application to him is using Zenap. Host it in the data center and process it there, because he doesn't have a very capable device. Or, if he has a laptop that has more than 40 gig of disk space, maybe stream it via App B, because maybe that makes sense in that context. Or, as you may well know, Config Manager now has the concept of primary device. So if this is Tony's primary device, then just install it using MSI, because he's always going to want it, and there's no point going through this process again and again. Right? So, Thor. I think it's the first time Thor's shown up on this slide deck. That's our code name for the Zenap connector for System Center 2012. It's not publicly available yet, although there is a publicly available tech preview. And there is a link to that in here, and you will get the deck. So you can get it, you can plug it in and play with it, just the same as I have here. How do admins use it? You need an application. That goes without saying. And you create a deployment type. And it will be one of these two. It'll be either MSI, you'll install it on your Zenap server, or you'll stream it to your Zenap server using App V. And then you create the Zenap deployment type based on one of those. And I'll show you what that looks like in the console a little later on. So the top two, you publish to users as you normally would in the Config Manager console. Like I said, whatever processes you currently have in place, nothing changes just because you want to do this, right? So you do whatever you would normally do with your applications, you push it to a user or a group or whatever. Our deployment type gets published or pushed to a group of servers, which is our Zenap servers. User self-service. We have Citrix Receiver, as you probably well know, and Microsoft have the App Catalog. So what customers really want is a single pane of glass for users to go to find all of their applications. Yes? Currently, the only actual single pane of glass using either of these two tools is the Start menu. Both of these tools can push app icons and shortcuts to the Start menu. That's the only true single pane of glass without doing stuff. The App Catalog from Microsoft, obviously, if you're not on a Windows device and you're not on your corporate network, if you're on an iPad, for example, from home, you're not going to see the App Catalog, right? It's not going to be there. So in that case, the only place to go to is the Citrix Receiver. We are able to set a flag against MSIs, for example, because MSIs aren't going to show up in Citrix Receiver, because that just doesn't make sense, right? You can't install an MSI on an iPad or whatever. We don't bother having that stuff show up. What we can do is set a flag so that if you have an MSI deployment type, it can show up in Citrix Receiver, but what it's going to do is install it on a Zenap server first and host it. Right? So we can have Citrix Receiver as a single pane of glass. What that's going to do, however, is screw with your reporting in Config Manager a little bit, because you think you're doing MSI deployments and you're really not. Okay. So, but there is a way of doing it. You've got to fudge it a little bit, but you can. As I said, the only true single pane of glass without fudging anything is the Start menu. And that this just kind of talks to that. I'm going to just build this out. This is just saying, on a managed computer, i.e. Windows device on a domain, they kind of show up in both places, depending if it's a Zenapp or whatever. Obviously, the Zenapp deployment type's not going to show up in the config in the app catalog either. Unmanaged devices, you only have the option of using receiver. Okay, Microsoft done some really good stuff. We have guys that sit in Redmond and work with Microsoft developers and stuff, and we've worked closely together with these guys. So they've said, if anyone's tried to do to manage a pulled VDI environment using Config Manager 2007, so the previous version, it was a complete nightmare. Every time a read-only desktop restarted, despite the fact that it had the same MAC address and had the same host name, it would show up as a new device in Config Manager. So your database ended up getting full of absolutely useless rubbish. And there was a workaround to it. It sure as hell wasn't pretty, though, and no one wanted to really do it, and I couldn't recommend that anyone did. They've addressed it in Config Manager 2012. So by virtue of the fact we have devs sitting with these guys, they said, if you write some code here, we'll know that we've seen this device before, and every time a read-only desktop starts up, it shows up in the console just the once and where you want it to show up. So you can manage it like you would, again, the same as any other desktop in your environment. They've written some new virtual desktop attributes, and you can read out Zen Desktop virtual desktop attributes. So those of you who are good at writing queries inside of Config Manager, you can write clever queries, and I'll show you what the attributes are after this. And you can create policies based on some of the virtual desktop attributes. Talked about the pooled thing. We do that really well now. So pooled VDI, i.e. having a single golden image in the data center and spinning off hundreds or thousands of read-only image desktops based on that, is kind of where everyone wants to be. It's a little bit utopian, but it's a good thing to aim for, right? Machine IDs persist across VM reboots. As I said, you don't get a Config Manager database full of useless information. And that way you do get to do accurate inventory and reporting based on your virtual desktop fleet. These are what the new virtual desktop attributes are. Those ones over there are Microsoft ones that are written into Config Manager anyway. The ones on this side are Citrix-specific virtual desktop attributes. So again, those of you who are good at writing queries, you can query any of these things. So obviously, if OS changes persist equals false, it's a read-only desktop. So that way, if you're dynamically spinning up and spinning down lots and lots of desktops, if those desktops turn up in a desktop group or they're read-only, they can automatically end up in the right collection and Config Manager and get managed the correct way. Right, so again, you can take a hands-off approach to your environment and automate a lot of things using this now. Demo time. Who wants to see some of that? Yeah, let's do that. Familiar interface for some of you now? Config Manager 2012. Now, the Thor part of this, so the Zenapp connector, it's not a very long demonstration because it's really not complicated technology. So I've installed the Thor connector on my Config Manager server. So the requirements aren't huge. You need the power and capacity management component in Zenapp because it leverages that. It's optional to leverage it, but you need it to install it in the first place. So it has to be there. You don't have to use it, though, if you don't want to. You also need to enable PowerShell remoting on both your Config Manager box and your Zenapp server that you're talking to. And as soon as you install it, it goes out and it discovers your farm structure. So it knows that I've got a couple of worker groups in there and it knows what servers are inside my worker groups. So there's no work. You don't actually have to write queries to build out your Zenapp farm structure in Config Manager. Every day, if you make changes, you add or remove servers every day, the connector will go out and rediscover your farm and populate whatever your farm looks like into this console. I'll switch over to my software library. We also add this. a Zenapp publications node. So if I just switch to my apps for a bit, I'll show you the deployment types I was talking about before. Hit deployment types down here. You'll see this Firefox one up here has an MSI deployment type. Office 2003 has an AppV deployment type and a Zenapp deployment type. So this is the one that obviously will stream to Zenapp and get hosted to whatever, to an iPad or whatever you choose to do that. And Office 2010, again, is MSI. This Zenapp publications node here, if I do create publication, any Zenapp admins in the room? Does that look familiar? Basically, what we've done is we've just stuck the Zenapp publishing wizard inside of the Config Manager console, so you don't need to jump out of this console to push applications where they need to go. So if I just go test, and I can either do an installed, so MSI or AppV, let's hit AppV. It's going to find whatever AppV packages I have installed and available. I've only got the Office 2003 one. Pick my app. Configure my advanced settings. So basically, this is just stepping through the normal Zenapp publishing wizard, only doing it in the Config Manager console, right? So we get accused of having a few too many consoles sometimes. This kind of shrinks it back down. Single pane of glass is where everyone wants to be, right? So that's it. Like I said, the Thor Connector demo isn't a long one because it's really not complicated, but it can make your life a lot easier. A lot easier. Let me switch back to this. What's next? Link to the tech preview. The tech preview was released about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think. So if you want to play with that, feel free. You'll get this deck, as I said. Go download it, install it. Really simple and straightforward, but it could make your lives a whole lot easier. And bringing this back to the context of BYOD, we know it's something we can't avoid, and we know it, you know, a lot of people are scared of it. They'd like to stick their heads in the sand and pretend this isn't happening. But this can make the whole process a lot simpler. Our technology can enable BYOD very, very easily. But doing cool stuff isn't helpful if it just increases your management overhead, right? So that we've done a lot of work with Microsoft to try and avoid that. What's next for Citrix? Next. So Zen Desktop and Zen App, .next I'll call it for now. I think you can expect to see closer alignment between Zen App and Zen Desktop. Actually, you know what? Before I go to this, I'm just going to jump into something else as well. I'm going to switch back to here. I'm going to do another demo. Talking about the, I talked a little bit about the golden image thing in the data center and streaming lots of read-only desktops. Is everyone in here familiar with that concept of provisioning services, that technology? Who doesn't know what provisioning server is in here? Come on, but you can be honest. I'm not going to throw anything. Everyone in this room knows what provisioning server is.
Everybody knows the difference between a pooled desktop and an assigned desktop. Brilliant.
Okay. That's great. I don't have to explain it then. Okay. We have integration from provisioning server into Config Manager as well. So I'm actually just going to drop into the provisioning server console here. And I'm actually going to walk you through what we've done. So I'll walk you through manually updating a golden image in a data center. And in itself, that process is very simple. But then I'll show you what we've done to automate that process and, again, make your lives a little bit easier in terms of how we've integrated with System Center. So, first of all, to put it in context, where's my device collection? So I've got a bunch of collections in here. I've got some XP desktops. I've got some Win7 pooled desktops. You notice they're pooled desktops, so they're read-only. They're pooled desktops. And I have a collection for my golden image. That's the one I'm going to maintain. And you can see there's only one device in there. So that's what it looks like in Config Manager. That maps directly to these collections and provisioning server. So that's a sensible way to do it, right? So you can see there's those 5 devices in my XP collection and 10 in my Windows 7 one. And there's my, just expand that out. That's my read-write one. That's the one I maintain my golden image with. So that is a logical representation of my golden image, my Windows 7 image that sits in the data center, right? What that looks like on disk, if you're interested. Go here. Scroll to the bottom. That's that one there. So my Windows 7 V3 VHD, 24 gigs in size, right? You'll notice there's a whole bunch of other files and stuff in there. And I'll tell you what that means and why. If I want to manually update that golden image, right, in the data center, I click on my versions dialog. You notice I've already got 5 versions in there, and I click new. It creates version 6, and it puts it into maintenance mode. What that looks like in here on disk is you'll see I now have version 3.6.avhd. So we're doing chaining, basically. You notice it's got a very small file size because I haven't done anything yet. Version 3.5, AVHD, is just over 2 gig. So what we're doing is when we create a new version, we're not actually touching the base. We create an AVHD and we capture deltas. So if you install or uninstall or change something, those deltas are captured and then it chains back down to the base. Okay. What we do know, though, is I've gone to version 3.6, the further you get away from your base, the more chaining that goes on, you'll start running into performance issues. So you want to start thinking about rolling up at about this point. When you get 5 away from the base, you want to start thinking about rolling up to a new base. And we've enabled that all in the console. You'll see what that looks like. So that virtual machine is T-based desktop W7 is this one here. So now that I've created a new version, if I start this machine, because this machine is in maintenance mode, and I'll show you what that looks like and what that means, I will get a boot menu. So this is what the provisioning service's boot process looks like. It's going to go and get a DHCP address, talk to my provisioning server, pull down a file called ardbp32.bin and say, this is your MAC address, therefore this is your VDisk, pull that down now. So I've now got a boot menu going, you can boot to version 3.5, that's production, or you can boot into version 3.6, which is in maintenance mode, which means I can make changes to that version. So if I hit number 1 now, boot into version 3.6, I install my app or apply Windows updates or whatever I want to do to it, and then do a nice, graceful shutdown. Okay, let's pretend I did something there. I installed an app or whatever. Switch back to PBS. Go versions. While I'm doing this, you'll notice there's a green tick on number 5, despite the fact I've created a new version. So that green tick is where your current production version is. So while you're doing this, you're not impacting production at all, because every device that is set to production, if it reboots, it automatically goes into wherever that green tick is. So you're not impacting anyone while you're doing this. You can do this in the middle of the day. So I've installed my apps or applied Windows updates or whatever. I select version 6 and hit promote. I'm going to promote it into test because I need to validate my changes with my UAT team so that they can check they haven't screwed anything up before I roll this into production. All right? You'll notice I've actually set provisioning server to say if you get 5 versions away from the base, you need to think about rolling up to a new base, right? So I put a warning in there. So you can set that to whatever you want. I've set it at 5, which is a good sensible way to do it. You notice the type has moved to test. So I'll show you what that actually means. So my maintenance device here has a type of maintenance. So that's the one I just booted, and that's where I do all my maintenance. I have a device set to test. So when the test devices also get that boot menu, but when they boot into version 3.6, they get a read-only copy of the changes I made. So they can't change anything. They can just validate what I did. All right? And my pull desktops here all have a type of production. All right, so anything with a type of production, when it boots, it just goes to wherever that green tick is. So let's go back to the green tick. Let's say my UAT team has validated all my changes and they're all good. So again, promote. And I can schedule it if I have an outage window or whatever. Or I can just do it immediately. And you'll notice the green tick has moved up to 6. So that is now my new production version of my VDisk. Now, at this point, any device that is set to production when it reboots gets the changes. So you might do something like this. And there could be thousands of desktops in here. I only have 10. The process doesn't change whether you've got 10 or 10,000, right? This process is exactly the same. So I can select every device that's currently started up, and every device with a green tick is started. And I can go target device, send message, say, please save all your work. We're going to reboot at midnight tonight or something like that because we've made some changes. And then you can actually restart all those devices from here as well. At that point, everyone's running version 3.6. And that process in itself is really simple. So with the click of a mouse, you can roll out your changes across thousands of desktops by managing one golden image.
Can you schedule a restart rather than manually having to restart?
Not in this console, but there are a bunch of other ways you can schedule restarts, right? You could use Config Manager or scripting or other tools. Not in this console, no. But I'll show you how we can automate that process, which might answer your question, actually. So the fact that you can do this so simply and impact thousands of desktops raises a question. What if your UAT team screwed something up and missed something that you screwed up? Well, the good thing is you can roll back as easily as you rolled forward. You select version 6, you hit revert, go to maintenance so you can change it again. The tick goes back down to number 5, you reboot your desktops and you're back exactly where you were before. And this is why we do VHD chaining without touching the base. It simplifies roll forward, roll back, and stuff like that. Obviously, if you've gotten 5 away from your base, you're probably comfortable versions 2, 3, and 4, maybe. So you can roll that up to a new base. I don't necessarily have to roll up my new base from this point. I can select version, and let me just promote that back to where it was. I can select this one here, for example, so I can save version 5 in case I do need to roll back to where I was before. I can select version 4 and hit merge and make version 4 my new base. So I'm only 1 or 2 away from my base, not 5 or 6. Okay, so you can just roll up to a new base at that point. So that's the manual process. Not onerous, actually pretty simple. We've gone one step further, and we put a VDisk update management node in here, so everything I just did can be automated, which is even cooler. So all I had to do here was create a host connection, and this isn't limited to Zen Server. I'm just using Zen Server because, by the way, all these demos are being run out of our executive briefing center in Sydney, so I don't have a magic box under here. There's no smoke and mirrors. This is the actual infrastructure that runs our briefing center in Sydney that you're looking at now. That's why it's running on Zen Server. This will work with Hyper-V, vSphere, if I hit add host, you get the option for the 3 main hypervisors. So I have a host connection, and basically that's just a set of credentials and an IP address so it knows where to go to manage devices. Then I have a VDisk node, and I have, a representation of my golden image in the data center, which is associated with a VM. In this case, it's Win7 Auto Update. And I have a tasks node. So to do that whole thing in an automated fashion, all you need to do is something like this. Let's call it Patch Tuesday, because we still do stuff like that. Let's say every week on Tuesday at midnight, I want you to grab that VDisk and start it on that VM. And you get an option here for integration, right? So we integrate natively with WSUS or Config Manager, and there's an other at the bottom. So pretty much any process you want to kick off here, you can. And you can do pre and post update scripts, as you should be able to do with any ESD tool worth its salt. When you're finished, roll it into test, have your UAT team validate your changes, and that is it. So basically what I've done is I've just automated everything I went through manually. So at midnight on Tuesday, my golden image is going to start up in read-write mode on that VM, and it's going to kick off the config manager process. So obviously the config manager agent needs to be on that device or that golden image. All it does is it says, go look for any jobs you've got to do. So again, however you currently manage your desktop and application deployment in Config Manager, nothing changes just because you're doing it this way. You still push the apps and stuff, or the Windows updates to your machines exactly the same way. All we do here is when that golden image starts up on that VM, it says, go do what you normally do. Go and look for jobs to run. Those jobs will run, it'll shut down, it'll roll into UAT, and those guys test it, then you roll it into prod. Simple.
When you join the dots, it's no different to the way you patch your desktops today, and you have been for a long, long time, right? You're using the tools that you've got that you're familiar with, and now you're actually using that with this. It gives you different options. You can actually test your patching methodology against the virtual infrastructure before you do it to your rich infrastructure, if you like. Right? So there's a whole host of different options that become available as a result of employing technologies like this.
Is that cool? You're all pretty quiet, but come on. That's cool,
guys,
right?
It's been party soon, guys. Come on.
I mean, we do, in my opinion, my unbiased opinion, I think we do a lot of cool stuff at Citrix. PVS, in my opinion, is one of the coolest things we do. This enables you. This enables kind of utopia, if you like. This enables you to have as few images in the data center to manage as humanly possible, and deploy them across tens of thousands of desktops if you want. All of our largest deployments globally of Zen Desktop use this technology for a reason. It's really good at what it does. Switching. Okay, now we're back where we were. What's next? I'm not allowed to talk much about what's next. So this is going to be brief. You might expect to see closer alignment between ZenApp and Zen Desktop going forward, maybe. There may or may not be fewer consoles. Yeah? All right. Oh, we hear you. We know. All right? We know. Clearly, there will be Windows 8 and Server 2012 support.
That we can say.
That's why we're here. The cool thing is, I'm allowed to show you Windows 8 VDI, and I'll do that shortly. We will be leveraging and extending RDS 2012 support. So we know they've done some cool stuff in RDS 2012. They've enhanced the protocol. That's the biggest enhancement, in fact, in that protocol ever. And they've done some really cool stuff, and we will be leveraging and extending that as well. Anyone heard of Project Avalon in here? Yeah, not many. No one in New Zealand had. Like under a rock or something over there.
And you're a Kiwi.
I know. Look, you want to bag me for being a Kiwi. Does anyone follow rugby? Yeah. Don't even start. All right? 22-0 is all I got to say.
Your scores went down.
Yes, yeah. Oh, shit.
Twice.
Project Avalon. So this is. I mean, ZenApp and Zen Desktop already kind of lend themselves to cloud-like behavior, right? They scale up, they scale down, you can do it from anywhere kind of stuff. What Project Avalon is making them true cloud services, or enabling them to be true cloud services. You may or may not see something along the lines of, in your Zen Desktop console, when you choose the host that you create your virtual machines on, maybe Amazon might show up in the list of places to do that.
Or Azure.
Or Azure, maybe. And it will be, obviously, a highly optimized cloud service. So I don't know if you know that we owned CloudStack a short while ago. We donated that to the Apache Open Source Foundation. So it's CloudStack's completely open source now. Development's obviously increasing on that out of sight, and we have a commercial implementation of the CloudStack platform, and that's what it's going to build on, and it's going to look something like that. Pretty much what that says is every product we've got is getting smashed in there. I'm not going to read through all that again. You'll get this deck, and you can look at it and go, oh, yeah. cloud scale automation, we've had a project called Rainmaker running for a while. That's what that is. Some components of Rainmaker have been delivered already for our CSPs or our Citrix service providers. They're already doing some of this stuff, so the technology's being validated. All the good stuff goes in the middle, desktops and apps and all that kind of stuff. Any cloud, any hypervisor, good NetScale and networking technologies and stuff, you know, enabling and bridging. And like I said, we have a lot of technologies. We've got a really, really good end-to-end story. This is the whole end-to-end story, delivering desktops and apps out of the cloud. And that could be a private cloud, by the way. It doesn't have to be a cloud. A cloud is a cloud. What this does is it really blurs the lines between private and public cloud. You can scale in, scale out, burst, or whatever you want to do with clouds.
It doesn't take away from our core fundamentals, which has always been around, and it has been for the last 20 years, about just getting apps and desktops out to all the different types of devices that are available today. With that, let's have a look at Windows 8.
Windows 8 VDI.
Yes, sorry, question. So, agreed. And so that's a question that you'll have to take up with Microsoft, obviously, in that particular point. But, yeah, so from a hosted shared scenario, obviously there is a SPLR model available, and that's the model that's used today. What you find is that virtual desktops is driven... Let me actually simplify it down. This device, and I'll put it away now, if I've got a tablet of some kind or a device of some kind, what I really want is the application. I'm not so worried about the platform that I'm launching that application from. That's really what that story is about. I need to get a mail message which has got an approval process that I need to go through, and I can actually do that from that device and open up SAP, for example. Right? That's the idea of it. It is about applications. So if you bring BYOD back to that, there's two forms of BYOD, if you like. There's the I'm replacing my desktop with another device. That's not going to be like an iPad, and I'll say it loosely because I can tell you right now, your OH&S guys are not going to let you work on an iPad for 8 hours of the day, right? That's a simple fact of life, right? But so you'll have a laptop. But then there's going to be the situations where you're going to have someone who wants to have a tablet device of some kind to consume, right? That is really a consumption device, and that is what this is aimed at. Some of those things are aimed at. Yeah? It's really about getting that out.
Some of the CSPs or the Citrix service providers, we've created a Windows Server, VDA, and the CSPs are able to deliver server desktops as a one-to-one, so basically treat it as a desktop. And avoid what you were just talking about.
Which is permitted under the SPLR licensing
model. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Log in, as I normally would. Switch to my desktops tab. You can see I've got every desktop I could possibly want in there. I want everyone to cross their fingers for me, because these are live demos out of Sydney. Windows 8 VDI.
Hopefully.
Ah, that works. It always does. Beautiful. Always does. And there it is. Metro over VDI. Who wants to do Metro over VDI? I'm not allowed to call it Metro. Who wants to do that over VDI? Look, to be fair, if you're delivering Windows 8 desktops over VDI, this device isn't touch, but it does similar stuff, and I'll show you. If you're delivering Windows 8 VDI, you're going to be working in this space most of the time anyway, all right? It's just another desktop platform, and the only purpose for a desktop platform is to deliver applications to so people are productive. The desktop in itself is not a productivity tool, right? It's a platform to deliver apps to. And again, delivers in-app apps into desktops. It's no different to any other desktop. So as you can see here, I have receiver installed. Nothing clever about that. That's our current production receiver. It still installs here. It's just an Intel platform that installs here, and it acts and behaves the same as it does on Windows 7, right? Other than the fact there's no start menu to be seen here, It's the same thing. But as you can see, it still does the, you know, the Windows 8 thing. I can right-click here and go all apps, and I can sort of go down here and bring my charms up and all that kind of stuff. So you still get that kind of experience. This isn't a touch-enabled device, but it's a, you know, the theory is the same. So that's that. And there's one other thing that everyone wants to know about. I'll switch to that. Do we have a Metro receiver? Here it is. I know a lot of you have already visited our stand and probably seen that. We do have one. It's been submitted to the Windows Store, right? It's in the Microsoft Store, waiting to be approved.
And I asked this morning, they told me 3 days.
It should be by the end of the week, but that's beyond our control. The good thing is, it's up there waiting to just be released by Microsoft, yeah. All right? And yes, I know, you can see my password here. This isn't a secret password, it's just a demo account. What?
Please.
Oh, come on.
So now you all know how to demo from Citrix.
There it is, Metro Receiver. Go shopping for apps. So this does the swipe thing. I'll be swiping from the top or bottom. Add apps. This is the self-service shopping kind of thing. Go find an app to pop in there. The only one I don't have is Access. So select that. Add, and that goes to my workspace. It's kind of as simple as that.
I thought you were going to go to the App Store next. Pay for it.
Pay for it? Yeah. So that's kind of that. That's actually all I'm allowed to show you about the new stuff we're doing. I can show you the receiver, I can show you Windows 8 video, and I can talk vaguely around some of the other things. I can have slightly more in-depth NDA conversations if people want to go down that path as to what we're doing next and how we're doing it and stuff like that. TechEd being a pretty public event, I'm just not allowed to.
When we see RT starting to ship, most people are familiar with the way that apps will be handled. They all have to be those type of apps, Metro-type apps. The beauty of, the problem that we're all going to have is we're all going to have a whole lot of legacy applications that we need to get out there. Obviously, this is one of the beauties that will be there for you, right? You'll be able to use a Citrix receiver to get to that infrastructure, whether it be sitting on really, really old hardware like Windows 2000 days type infrastructure or, even just 2008.
Do we have any questions? I rolled through that at a fairly brisk pace quite deliberately because I know we're in between you guys and getting ready for the party and everyone's hanging out for that. But happy to take some questions at this point.
Will the connector for CSU 2012 connect to ZenApp 6 or only 6.5?
It's version dependent. So the question is, will the connector for 2012 be backported to ZenApp 6? And the answer to that's no. It's basically version tied to 6.5 and Config Manager 2012. Yep. Thanks. All right, thank you. Sorry. For those leaving, please remember to fill out your evals. You can win a cool mouse or something.
The SCCM agent and the additional attributes and maintaining the devices in SCCM.
Yep.
Is that for Zen Desktop or Zen App or like a PBS related
thing? So it's for Zen Desktop?
The
attributes, like,
the,
is it
the,
a full
the attributes as in desktop specific attributes. Yeah. It's Zen Desktop.
It's targeted. So it's targeted VDI rather than like a hosted shared type thing, right? So
it's, if you're using PVS
and PVS Zen App servers, they might have the same scenario. Well, PVS is different. The provisioning server demo I gave you has nothing to do with the Thor connector, all right? And it's not version dependent in any way, shape, or form. All it does is it will start your golden image, all right, on that VM. And whatever agent that needs to be there, be it WSUS or Config Manager, already needs to be there. It will just kick off the process and go find a job to do. That's all it does.
I'm talking about the agent in a read-only image when it boots up.
Yep.
And maintaining its identity within SCCM. And you said that for Zen Desktop, it will now, it has those additional triggers to say, oh, I've already seen this
No, that will work for Zenapp as well. Because of the way it's done, it's where it's written in terms of the provisioning server. When the provisioning server injects the identity, because obviously it all starts off a golden image, right? It needs an identity when it starts. When PVS injects that identity, it writes it to a place in the OS. Microsoft said, write it here, and we'll remember it. Okay, so it doesn't matter. It can be Zenapp, Zen Desktop. You could be spinning up web servers out of PVS and managing them in Config Manager, and you would get the same effect. Cool. So any read-only pulled image spun up out of PVS will work that way. Yep.
Cool. Any other questions?
I think we're done. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Enjoy your evening.